And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show to go over the latest in the world of sports here for a Tuesday, it's my good friend Alan Slutterzinski with Brevard Sports Network. Alan, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mark. How about yourself, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. We're kind of in those days right now where we're waiting for March Madness. Like, we did the Combine. We're just waiting about 2 weeks. Does it feel like that to you?
It does. And the good news is I will be like every other Joe this year when it comes to March Madness. I don't know anything.
You're not. Hey, I don't think the players know, the coaches of these teams, they have no idea. But I've put my foot down, Alan. If there's like the 15 beat the 2, I'm not going to be shocked this year because it's been going on all year. How about you?
No, Mark, college basketball, really, honestly, because of – look, a lot of people don't know this, but the transfer portal affects all sports, right? So you really see the depth of talent that spreads out across this country in basketball as well. You know, for example, Jace Carter, who used to play at Astronaut High School. When he left Astronaut High School, he went to the University of Chicago at Illinois. From there, he spent 2 seasons, and he transferred to Texas A&M, where he's a redshirt junior this year with 2 more years of eligibility. And he's a 6th guy on that team and really, really playing well down there. So you look across the landscape of college basketball this year, and really for the last 2 years, I would say, and the talent is really spread out quite nicely across the country, Mark.
It's funny where – so UCF, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, they're going to host the number one team in the country, the Houston Cougars, a team they played over the last decade in the American. Now they're both in the Big 12. But there's a part of me, is it really the number one team? Like, does that still matter in college basketball?
Well, let me ask you this question. Unless it's 1986, how many people are going to run Houston to the Final Four or to the finals this year? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just,
I mean, honestly, you know, and look, this is not the first year over the last couple of years that Houston has been a really, really good basketball team. It'll be interesting, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, we've seen UCF, you know, we saw what they – you were there,
yeah,
earlier this season when they, you know, they got their first Big 12 win and the court storming and how huge that was to beat Kansas the way that they did. And so, listen, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting, and I'll be watching.
It will be interesting. If you go to high school sports, I know last week we talked about Vieira boys and girls for soccer. What happened to them over the last couple of days?
Yeah, well, yeah, they both got beat. The Vieira girls got beat in the Final Four by Montverde, 1-0. And then the boys got beat Saturday in double overtime, 1-0, in the finals in the state championship match. So they didn't repeat, but great run for them. 3 straight years in the state championship, and it comes to an end on Saturday with this past Saturday with this yeah, particular senior class, Max May, Alvy Kaufman and company. And really, this was a match they probably should have lost 4-5-0. Their keeper, Alvy Kaufman, really played spectacularly in the net. And listen, it was humid out. I mean, if you go back to Saturday, it was really, really humid. And it was one of those first really humid days we've had in a long, long time. And the team was out of Miami. It was South Broward. And they really showed their ability of having constantly played in these types of conditions. Vieira hit a wall in the second half. I mean, they just ran out of gas, and South Broward certainly used it to their advantage. And then once it got to 2 overtimes, Vieira really didn't have a chance to win that match.
Wait a minute. I forgot to ask you this. So were you in – where are you at, Deltona? Where were you exactly for this?
Yeah, I was at Speck Martin Stadium in Deltona.
What did you do?
I'm sorry, DeLand.
DeLand. It was DeLand. Wait, I apologize. Didn't you have to sit in your car for 10 hours between the matches? What'd you do?
I did not go that day. I did not go to the Final Four. NFHS Network, God bless them, broadcasted that day. So what I said was that if the teams went to the finals, then I would go to that. And that's what I did the week before for Edgewood when they went to the state championship. I didn't go to their Final Four. And so I went to the Edgewood State Girls Soccer Finals and Vieira Boys State Soccer Finals.
All right, we're just clarifying here with Alan Sutterzinski of the Brevard Sports Network. All right, just want to make that. What do you got? Since soccer's over, what are you broadcasting this week for high school sports?
We're just into the spring sports, the baseball, the softball, the lacrosse, got some track and field coming up. So we're deep into the spring sports season now.
All right, well, then it's really cool. Who do you like, then, for baseball, as I'll put you on the spot, for high school?
That's a good question, and the answer to that is going to be unimpressive when I tell you I have no idea. I've seen, you know, some of the top teams in this county to this point. I haven't seen them all yet. But, look, Vieira lost 7-8 seniors. You know, I will say this. Let me say this. Some of the guys that have graduated over the past 2 years in Brevard County are off to some outstanding college baseball starts. Alex Sosa, Riley Jackson, Diamonds Ross. What we're seeing now in high school baseball anyway is kind of the retooling of a lot of these programs, where you see a lot of sophomores and juniors. I did a really good game Friday night between Melbourne and O'Galley. O'Galley took a 3-1 lead going into the bottom of the sixth. Melbourne scored three times to snap a four-game losing streak. They ended up beating them 4-3. So the jury's still out on that. In softball in this county, it's still Jazzy Frantic, Mark, and the Melbourne Bulldogs. I mean, honestly, Mark, you really need to get down and watch Jazzy Frantic pitch at Melbourne. She's going to Florida State next year. She's been a 5-year starter in this county. She comes into this week, the next time she takes the circle. I mean, she's got 1,200 career strikeouts in 5 years. I mean, she's really, truly incredible to watch pitch. And she may even be somebody you might want to get on the show.
Okay.
Again, she's going to Florida State. She's going to be a nationally dominant pitcher in this country next year when she gets to Tallahassee.
Do you think you can get a hit off her?
No.
No. No way. No way. Do you think you could beat Caitlin Clark at a 3-point shootout? No.
If I can't hit a fastball from Jazzy Frantic, I'm certainly not going to be able to beat Caitlin Clark in a 3-point shooting contest.
Oh, man. Do hitters even have a chance when you're broadcasting these games and she's on the mound?
Listen, I've seen Jazzy get touched before, you know, in terms of last year, for example, Skylar Wagner of Vieira got out ahead of a fastball at Jazzy's. And to me, it was a perfect timing, guessing right type of a thing.
Yeah.
She got out, she put the bat on the fastball. And when you do that, these fences aren't that far in softball, but so if you can make great contact off of a great fastball, you can do what Skylar did and drive it 30 feet over the wall. You know, so I've seen Jazzy get touched up before, get hit, you know, but it doesn't happen very often. You're talking about a 5-year career ERA, Mark. I mean, in 80 high school starts of a 0.45. You stop and think
about that. Nasty. Yeah, it's nasty. It really is. Well, that's really exciting, dude, where she's going to be going to Florida State next season. That really is. So that's high school sports. Alan told me when we were off the air, he's working on his mock draft for the NFL. Is this correct?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I was looking at some of the results. I went back and watched bits and pieces of the I can't stand the underwear Olympics. Mark. I hate the combine.
I can't either.
I can't sit around and watch the NFL combine. So I go back and I watch tidbits of this player or that player. Now you can pull any clip you want from the NFL combine. As long as the player was there, there's a video on everything that they did. And that's truly the way that I prefer to go in and watch. And I truly think that when you look at this NFL draft, I think you look at, again, it's the quarterbacks to me. You know, obviously Caleb Williams is the big question mark at one. And what are the Bears going to do here? If the Bears were smart to me, and I go back and forth on this. Last week I was all about drafting Caleb Williams. So the more and more I think about it, I think the more you have to go ask yourself, what are the Washington Commanders willing to give up to go get the DC-born quarterback, right? What do they want? And if it is a haul that if you're the Chicago Bears, you can live with, then I think you got to take, you know, I think if it's something like what the Carolina Panthers gave the Bears last year, and the Bears can get something like this in return again, Mark, why wouldn't you take that, you know, and really see what transpires this upcoming season. But with that said, Jaden Daniels, to me, Mark, is a guy that a lot of people believe could potentially be the next Lamar Jackson in this draft. He could be the next Robert Griffin III, you know, in terms of his abilities and, you know, having won the, you know. And listen, I think what we see with a guy like a Jaden Daniels is his ability, his accuracy, where he was able to, you know, Lamar Jackson played in the ACC. You know, Robert Griffin was in the Big 12 at Baylor. But you look at what Jaden Daniels did in the SEC, Mark, and it is really impressive. 40 touchdown passes, 40 interceptions last season. Accuracy, the touch, his processing, his speed. He's got an eye-popping ability when he runs the football. The Commanders may go that way, you know. And then I think when you take a look at, you know, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is a guy that's destined to go play in Arizona. Another interesting quarterback to me is J.J. McCarthy. You know, when I look at J.J. McCarthy, Mark, I think it's possible that McCarthy could be a C.J. Stroud-type-like guy in this year's draft. And who's going to be willing to take a chance on him? And will the New York Giants, will he even be around for the New York Giants to draft at 6? So I think we've got 3 quarterbacks. Obviously, the draft, you know, for the first time, I think, in a couple of years, the draft truly starts at number 1, if you know what I mean. A lot of times we always say, well, we knew this guy was going to be taken 1, 2, 2, 1, whatever. But this year, the intrigue of the NFL draft truly, truly starts at the top position. And I'm excited about that because I think that they're, you know, you take a look at a team like the New England Patriots, right? You know, what are the New England Patriots going to do? You know, some drafts have them taking offensive tackle Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. But if I'm the New England Patriots and J.J. McCarthy's on the board, I think I take a shot at another quarterback. You know, I mean, obviously. So it's definitely going to be a lot of fun. These 3 quarterbacks, guys like Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, wide receivers look really good this year. Offensive linemen, you know, Talalese Fauga out of Oregon State, guys like that. You know, you still got Drake May in the mix out of North Carolina. So it's not even 3 quarterbacks, it's 4 quarterbacks. Rome Adun, I can never say the guy's last name, but the wide receiver out of Washington. And then I think another position, Mark, that really impressed me as I was doing my research on the combine this year was nickel slot corners and the impact that nickel slot corners have made in the National Football League over the last couple of seasons. And watching the NFL combine, I saw a lot of great cornerbacks do really, really well at the NFL combine. So I think teams can really add depth to their secondaries. Guys like, you know, Keon Mitchell out of Toledo, you know, guy 6 foot, 195 pounds, ran a 4.340 at the NFL combine. So I think you have 3 really good positions in offensive tackle, wide receiver, nickel corners, nickel slot corners out there this year in this draft that's going to make a significant impact right away in round 1.
All right, I have a couple questions for you as you rattled that all off. You did great there. We're here with Alan Sulerzinski, Brevard Sports Network. All right. In your mock draft, who are the Bears taking at number 1?
I say they take Caleb Williams. Right. I think that if ever there was a situation to me that, you know, NFL general managers, ownership, what they'll always tell you, they never listen to the media, they never listen to the fan base. But I think this is different given the history of this football team, given the fact this team has never had a quarterback pass for over 4,000 yards in its history. I think they have to – we've already seen that Justin Fields can't do that yet or hasn't done that yet. I think they have to take Caleb Williams, Mark, and I think they will take Caleb Williams. Should they? Again, if the Washington Redskins throw the kitchen sink, the pickup truck, and the Cadillac at them all at one time, I think you have to listen, and I think they will listen. And who's to say it's even the Washington Redskins that make that deal, or Redskins, the Commanders that make that deal? Do the Patriots try to move up to the number one overall position, and what would they be willing to give up? But, yes, I think ultimately the Bears take Caleb Williams at one. The Commanders would then take Jaden Daniels at two. And then I think the Patriots either go with Joe Alt or J.J. McCarthy at three. Or have they kind of seen their mix of undersized quarterbacks and take a guy like a Drake May at three? Or do they trade back and say, if you're the Patriots, you go, well, we're either going to get Joe Alt, Drake May, or J.J. McCarthy. Let's see what the, you know, Chargers, the Giants, let's see what quarterback the Giants want. We don't really care. We'll take McCarthy or May. Let's see. Let's offer the Giants a shot. I think the Giants would take a shot to jump up at three. So, yes, I think the Bears do that, and then I think the chips fall in place after that.
I think what you're saying is the top 10 is going to be very interesting this year and exciting to watch, because there's a lot in play here. Compared to years past, some of these past drafts, especially, I said this yesterday, when the Jaguars had the first pick and they didn't know what to do because there was no sexy quarterback at the top, and then they just took the lineman from Georgia at one. It's going to be fascinating.
Well, here's the other thing, too, what? That's going to matter in this, Mark, and that's going to be, where do guys like Russell Wilson end up, you know? I think a team that everyone really truly needs to keep an eye on are the Falcons at eight.
Yes.
What are the Falcons going to do here? You know, listen, their former Tar Heel quarterback by the name of T.J. Yates, he's the quarterback coach in Atlanta. You know, he knows Drake May. Do the Falcons try to draft up and grab May? You're right. The top 10 this year is going to be utterly, utterly fascinating. And then there are your Bears again at nine. You know, are they going to take a guy like a Malik Nabers out of LSU? If the Bears, let's say the Bears do trade that pick to Washington and they decide to take Jaden Daniels at two, they say, well, it's either Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels and we don't care which, right? And then, you know, do they do what Cincinnati did and draft teammate wide receivers out of the same school, right? I mean, how wild would that be if the Bears end up with Daniels and Neighbors? Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's going to be a fascinating top 10.
We could have a situation where it's all offensive players in the top 10. When you think about it, here's my question. We just did a Super Bowl, Alan, where you had two teams where the Chiefs had Mahomes and an unbelievable defense. No great wide receivers out there. None. And they got it done in overtime. You look at the Niners. Mr. Irrelevant was their quarterback. They made it a trade for their best running back. But they also, it's not like they had first round talent in the draft out there as their position guys. That's why there's a part of me. All right, let's say you take Caleb Williams number one. If I'm at nine, I might just take the best offensive lineman on the board if he's there to protect Caleb Williams for the next 5 years. Is that okay if I do that?
Yeah, I think it is, because, you know, maybe it's Elise Fuaga from Oregon State drops the nine. You know, another interesting selection is going to be Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia, right? I mean, he's a top 10 tight end talent. Does he fall to the Jets at 10? Does he even fall to 10? We've seen the significant impact that tight ends make in the National Football League. But I think there are enough offensive linemen in this draft. Alamayawa Fashanu out of Penn State, another great one. You know, I mean, the Bears obviously need to protect whomever's going to be back there, because that has certainly been an issue for them during the Justin Fields era. But, yes, there are a lot of great options out there for all of these teams. This is a very good draft this year, by the way.
You know what's funny? So you look at 2021, where you had Trevor Lawrence at one and Trey Lance and, you know, the quarterback with the Jets and, you know, Justin Fields and Mac Jones and all these guys. I don't know what to think a couple years now down the road. Even Trevor Lawrence, okay, he won a playoff game. He won a division in year two. But I think he's like 20. What's his 20 and 30 as a starter? Is it something like that? And then
it's not impressive.
It's not impressive. And Fields is 10 and 28 as a starter. And Trey Lance was a complete bust. He barely even played at North Dakota State. And you look at the Jets, how that's a disaster. And Mac Jones, I mean, he got them to the playoffs the first year, but then that was just a complete waste of time. You never know 3 years later with any of these guys.
When you look at that draft, and I think the thing that really, I think COVID had a tremendous impact on that draft, Mark.
Why is that?
I think in terms of being able to truly evaluate talent.
It's an interesting point because it was during COVID that happened.
Yeah, guys were doing workouts, you know, over on the internet. You know, coaches would literally send. Then nobody went in person to do workouts. You didn't see these things, you know. So I often wonder, had COVID not existed, how that NFL draft would have turned out.
It's a good point. It is. I mean, look, 2020, you did have a draft process, and then the pandemic happened. That's what's weird about it. And you had Joe Burrow and Tua and Jalen Hurts and Herbert as well. It's just fascinating. It is. All right, let's say you're the Bears. We'll end with this. What would you want if you're trading the number one pick? Because it's going to be a lot, like you're saying.
What did the Panthers get last year, Mark?
Panthers gave
what'd they give up?
Panthers gave up this number one pick, and you didn't know what it was going to be. They gave up DJ Moore, and they gave up, I think, a second round pick. I think it was something like that for this. And the Bears went for it. The Bears were, it was a great trade from the standpoint of, it was a safety net. Hey, we're going to try Justin Fields one more season, see what we got. And if he fails, well, at least we'll have the first round pick from Carolina. And that's what it is.
Well, you're obviously going to get the first two that you're going to get this first round pick, and you're going to want their first round pick next year, right? I mean, so that's a given, right? If you're the Commanders, I think you'd have to ask for a little bit more.
Yes.
I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's a two and three. I don't know what it is, but I think you definitely have to get a little bit more.
That's why the Russell Wilson thing is so fascinating. They gave up two number ones and two number twos and three players. What? How is that even allowed? Why did Roger Goodell let that happen? I don't understand. Then they gave him $200 million guaranteed. And now they like,
now they're taking the biggest dead cap hit in the history of the league. What is it, $83 million dead cap hit?
So he's going to go to another team. That team, like, let's say you're Pittsburgh. All right, I'll give Russell Wilson like $3 million. Fine. He could be the starter for a couple games. Fine. My question for you is, would you give Kirk Cousins like $45 million to be your starter this year?
Man, that guy is the richest non-winningest quarterback in the history of this league, bruh.
I know.
I mean, come on. This guy, the amount of money that this guy has made, and I say more power to Kirk Cousins, because I really, I feel like I know Kirk Cousins, having watched the Netflix series, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he's a good friend. I mean, I'm sure everybody feels that way. You're going to have to, right? Let me ask you this. Outside of not playing in a Super Bowl, answer these three questions for me.
Okay.
Does Kirk Cousins give you a chance to win every time he steps on the field?
Regular season, yes. You got a chance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in the playoffs too, right? Because, I mean, didn't he have the greatest comeback in the history of the playoffs against the Colts? The number two question I have for you is he considered to be a phenomenal teammate?
Yes.
Is he going to be a guy that gets you to the playoffs?
Yeah, he can get you to the playoffs. He can do that.
Then the answer is yes, Mark. You pay this guy $45 million.
Yeah, and if you're Justin Jefferson, you're like, yeah, I need him back. He helps me put up big numbers. Let's go.
I mean, honestly, Mark, I mean, he is the most underwhelming And then you watch him play, and you're like, man, this guy sucks. Pardon my, and there's no other word.
Yeah, it's okay.
Like, this guy's he's terrible, right? And then you go, my God, he's worth every penny of the whatever they're paying him. I mean, that's a game. I can't imagine being a Vikings fan that you would want to strangle and then carry your quarterback off the field on your shoulders. But that's Kirk Cousins.
It's unbelievable. Hey, if the Bears trade Justin Fields and they draft Caleb Williams, who starts game one for the Bears?
Caleb Williams.
Even if he's not ready, right?
Yes.
Let me ask you this.
You're the Bears fan. What do you think is going to happen? The fandom in you, Mark Moses, what do you want?
The fandom in me is I'd keep Justin Fields, let him start week one, and I draft Caleb Williams anyway. And I do that. And then I let them kill each other in camp. And all right, he's get one more chance. And I still have Caleb Williams there, just sitting there on the bench, right? So it motivates. I know that'll never happen, but I think that's what would make it. Then we've never had a good quarterback. So it's like, might as well just let them kill each other and just like let the best man win. Go for that.
From now until the NFL draft, your show should be the most listened to sports talk radio show out of Chicago. You are the only true Chicago sports fan I've ever met here in Brevard County. And to listen to you for the next 2 months or month and a half should be quite a ride, my friend.
Hey. In 1970, my dad has been telling me this my whole life. 1970 draft, there was a coin toss because the Bears and Steelers had the number one pick. You know, they were tied with the worst record. So they went to a coin toss. And the Steelers won the coin toss, and they took Terry Bradshaw with the first pick. And don't you forget. That's what I think about. And there's no way the NFL is going to let the Bears trade the number one pick 2 years in a row. There's no way. They're going to be like, I think Roger Goodell and the 31 other owners are like, look, Bears, you're going to take a quarterback at number one. We don't care. You're going to do it. And they're going to take Caleb Williams. And that's what's going to happen. It is. So,
well,
I know.
I gotta put my faith in you, buddy.
All right, well, don't. His name is Alex Lutersinski, Brevard Sports Network. My man, thanks for your help and have a great day.
Appreciate it, Mark.